Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kinda dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years stopped coming and they don't stop coming. I fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. It didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so much wrong with taking the back streets. You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. And hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid, and all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars breaks a mold. Okay, welcome back to the Isolationist Podcast, huh? How is everyone doing today? So the world is, gonna roll us, you know? World's rolling us right now, and I know that I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, you know? And it's like, oh, everyone's looking at me with their fingers and their thumb in the shape of an L on their forehead. And I'm just like, what's going on in the world? So with everything crazy and insane that's going on in the world, I want to bring a refreshing break to podcasting, okay? I want to bring a refreshing break to everyone. This is what I'm like when I'm sober. Now, I just got to let people know which podcasts I'm sober and which ones I'm not, because there have been questions about my mental state based purely off of my need to have drugs to be in a public eye. I don't even know what I'm saying there. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. See, there are two songs in this world that are not even arguably the best songs that have ever been written, produced, and performed, okay? Number one is Toto's Africa. And if you disagree with that being number one, then you are a piece of shit. And you need to get the fuck out of this country. You need to get the fuck off this fucking flat earth we live on, huh? I don't believe in the flat earth. I just want to see if people think I do. No, there's that. And number two is Smash Mouth's All Star, okay? Because Smash Mouth gets a bad rap, okay? Everyone thinks that Shrek is their claim to fame. And it's like, no, that's not fair. Smash Mouth has 7 number one singles, alright? Or 7 top 10 singles, and like 3 or 4, you know, number ones. And before Shrek, I'm a believer that they All Star had already reached number one. So I'm here to talk about something that I'm impassioned about today, which is one of my favorite bands of all time, Smash Mouth. See, I gotta give a little history, because I've been doing some shit with Smash Mouth for a very long time. Number one, my dear friend Kate. Whenever she steps into my car, I always play Smash Mouth because she is someone who hates it. What I'm hoping is that eventually she'll see the error in her ways. So there have been plenty of times where she has actually thrown my Smash Mouth CDs, and yes, I still listen to them on their original goddamn format. That's the way they're supposed to be listened to, on CDs, okay? That's how they intended it. Smash Mouth intended themselves to be a CD band, not a vinyl band, not a podcast band, okay? Just the sleek feel of a CD in your hands with that, you know, ink printed on top of it. It's a whole different experience that no one ever takes into account for. People are like, oh yeah, vinyl being pressed is the way it's supposed to be listened to. No. It's supposed to be fucking done in a digital format that could be redubbed and recreated and fixed every few years, okay? So that they re-release it on a new format, that I personally don't purchase because I only believe in CDs, okay? That's how America works. That's how the record industry works. That's how the music industry works. And I get that not a lot of people are with it, but I'm with it. You want to know why? Put as much of my money and as much of anyone's money into Smash Mouth's hands as possible. It's not like they need it, because they are currently on tour with Sugar Ray, and God knows that those fucking... They're doing a casino tour, and God knows those seats must be fucking filled, because I'm actually jealous. I'm jealous that I don't get to see them because of where I live. I don't have the money to go see Smash Mouth, one of my favorite bands that's ever existed. Right? I know half of their... I can't remember lyrics. I can't remember the names of artists. Okay? But Steve Harwell... He's my hero. He is one of my heroes. So today on the podcast, I'm giving a little background to what is the genius that we all know as Smash Mouth with a space in between. When realistically, they started off as Smash Mouth without a space in between. Huh? Think about that. Your world shook it up. You see, Smash Mouth has humble beginnings in San Jose, California, you see? Steve Harwell, he loved House of Pain and that sort of rap that was going on in the world. So he himself, as the artistic genius he is, he was doing his own... he had his own rap music. It's called Freedom of Speech, or FOS for short. They had one single that I've been able to find, and I've been searching for a really long time. See, one of my biggest regrets is that in 1990, I guess it would have to be pre-1994, it would be probably around 1992-3, Freedom of Speech, led by Steve Harwell, he had one single, and it was Big Black Boots. And you can currently find that on YouTube. It's only got 7,000 views, which is, to me, heinous, because this was a brilliant piece of art that never got respect where respect was due. You see, like I said, the Caucasian rap was big at the time, and so he decided to throw his hand into the pot and fucking did it brilliantly, did it amazingly, but no one gives Steve credit where credit is due. Right? Bring back FOS. But then he realized that, you know, House of Pain is dying off, and that sort of genre of music wasn't going to pick up again until later on in the 2000s when Eminem got big, you know? And then later on again when stuff like Atmosphere and Rob Sonic and guys like that took a whole new spin on the genre, recreated it, and turned themselves into lyricists and poets, which is something that Steve was. However, no one else in white rap has been. Eminem, terrible. House of Pain, terrible. And those are the only two white rappers that have ever existed. Ever. You know? Besides Atmosphere, Rob Sonic, God, who does breakdance beach? Hail Mary Malin. See, those are true lyricists. Steve Harwell, Rob Sonic, and Aesop Rock. And not Aesop Rocky. Alright, Aesop Rock. The real talented musicians, okay? But anyway, I digress. I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about Steve Harwell and Freedom of Speech not getting credit where credit was due for being the lyrically minded geniuses that they actually are. Or he was, you know? He was trying to put his thumb on the pulse of what America wanted, and he couldn't do it fast enough. So then, you know, when he saw that style of music was going out of business, he told his manager, he said, hey, I'd like to start a rock band, you know? Which is completely viable. In my mind, to go from, you know, rap to rock instantaneously, it's easy. For someone like Steve, who is beyond talented, in my mind. So his manager introduced him to the original lineup of Smash Mouth, which is Kevin Coleman, Greg Camp, and Paul I can't even pronounce his last name. It's Paul de Lucille. And together, you know, they started working out and recording, kind of fucking around, and then they came up with the band name, one word, Smash Mouth. Because they were all such big fans of football, and the lead coach of the Chicago Bears, he called his style of football Smash Mouth. As in, you know, no holds barred, really intense, not holding anything back football. Which is, I think, in my mind, the exact same style of music that they created. You see, Smash Mouth has a very, very aggressive style in my mind. They don't hold anything back with their lyrics as well. Think about that again. I'm going to refer to this time and time again. Somebody once asked, "Can you spare some change for gas? I need to get myself away from this place." I said, "Yeah, what a concept. I could use a little fuel myself and we could all use a little change." How insanely metaphoric and aggressive are those lyrics? Fitting in today's political, you know, circus that's happening. So basically, the first album that they came out was, it was called Fush You Mang. Fush You Mang. Now, I want you to go back into pop culture, because they already named their band after a large portion of pop culture. I want you to think, Scarface! That's where they got it! How smart is that? That's his favorite thing to say throughout all of Scarface. Listen, nothing says pop culture more than a Scarface poster and a Smash Mouth poster up on your walls, okay? I still have them. I framed mine. Okay? Those two, forever in glory. They're like the pinnacle of American civilization. I think that Smash Mouth, Three Doors Down playing at Trump's inauguration, fuck that, should have had Smash Mouth. But too bad they're not the original lineup anymore, so it's not as good. It's watered down, you know, they have completely new drummers. I think they have a new keyboardist now. Listen, I'm a huge Smash Mouth fan. I know you're sitting there judging me right now, but listen. Continue to listen, okay? Continue to listen with me for a few moments here. This podcast is relatively short, okay? So how they got their big break was KOME in San Jose. They played their song Nervous in an Alleyway. And that's when Interscope Records signed them. Which is awesome, because that was almost immediate for them. They had a friend, played something great, everyone else noticed it was great, that it was going to be amazing. So then Fush You Mang was completely released in 1997, where they added a key member of their group, a key player in all of this, is their original keyboardist, Michael Klooster. Okay? So then the band really got famous around 1999. That's how good they were as a band. From their formation to 1999, when they got really, really famous and had hit singles and everything out, that's only like 4 years. How much time and effort and practicing and blood and sweat and tears when it must have gone into those 4 years for them to aggressively climb the charts the way that they did. I'll tell you how much all of it, all of the blood, sweat, and tears went into this music. Somebody once told me the world was going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger in her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. It didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so much wrong, we take it the back streets. You never know if you won't go. Go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Go. Alright? That's the stuff that stars are made of. So in 1999, That's when they start, they get the keyboardist, Michael Klosser. That's when their band really, or 1997 is when they get that, 1999. That's when they start getting really famous because they release what is now one of the most famous albums ever to exist, Astro Lounge. Made famous by Dane Cook's... See, this is the thing. Genius breeds genius, too. If it wasn't for All-Star, Dane Cook never would have gotten big. Because that was part of Mystery Men, which is a great William H. Macy movie. Janine Garofalo, William H. Macy, several other people, Dane Cook. If it wasn't for that bit part, no one would know who Dane Cook is today as the Waffler. And let's be honest, everybody loves Dane Cook, okay? Everyone loves Dane Cook. He's a genius. He's a comedic genius. He wouldn't have millions in the bank if he wasn't, okay? Even though Dane and I have had a feud for many years that I'll go into in another podcast, I'll forget about it and never talk about it again. Before I was even a comic, I had a feud with Dane Cook. Before I even knew I wanted to be a comic, I had a feud with Dane Cook. So 1999, they release Astro Lounge. Gets really big. They start going on touring, but this is a tumultuous time for the likes of Smash Mouth, because then they end up going through, in total, it's only three, but four drummers. Their original drummer, he has some back problems, so they replace him with a guy, that guy leaves, they replace that guy with another guy, and then that guy comes, second guy comes back, okay? That guy's name is Michael Urbano. And he stays with the band for a pretty long time, you know? He stays, and he's, honestly, I'm going to say, probably one of the best drummers of all time, okay? So, Astro Lounge goes, are you ready for this? Triple platinum. This is before the Shrek movie. This is Mystery Men, okay? Triple platinum. And this is the time, I'm not going to lie, this is the time where a young... budding comedian and budding psychopath, Brett Foster, happens upon Astro Lounge, and his life is forever changed, you know? Forever changed. This music got me through some really tough adolescent bad behaviors, and by got me through them, I mean like, you know, I just had it on the background while I was cutting myself. Which continued until the age of 25. No. 23 is when I stopped hurting myself. 23 is when self-harm had to stop. I have to make jokes about this. My girlfriend and I were talking about something. I'm not going to go into it. But basically, I got butt hurt over self-harming. And she looked at me and she was like, "What the fuck? You need to learn to make a joke about it." And I was like, holy shit, who have I become? You know how many jokes I should fucking tell about the self-harm I used to do? Listen, this is how bad I was at self-harming. I don't even have any scars from it. And I wasn't doing razor blades and shit. I was taking it to... I thought razor blades were for pussies. I thought glass was for pussies. I thought knives, metal edges. I did stuff like... I took power tools to my face. I took a belt sander to my fucking face. And then I broke both my hands. With a hammer, and then I took a lathe across my fucking knuckles. You wouldn't talk about self-harm. I don't do anything half-assed, folks. Can you imagine that? And the funniest thing about that is, with one broken hand, I'm trying to lathe my other broken hand, and I remember, because it's a weird mindset you get into during it. But, yeah, I'm telling you, with one broken up, fucking all my hands all fucked up because I took a hammer to it, and then... I'm grabbing the hammer with a fucking busted up hand to bust up my other hand, and I don't think like, hey, how am I going to take a lathe to these? So then I'm sitting there with my lathe trying to scrape off the skin of my hands and trying to really bring myself down to the point where I can see bone on my knuckles, and I'm sitting there with two broken hands going, shit, should have planned this one out better. God. So Smash Mouth is playing... during some of these things, you know? Smash Mouth goes triple platinum. Followed up by their third album, self-titled, Smash Mouth, that only goes gold. And so here's the thing that people really, it only goes gold, but that has the one that everyone knows of their Monkees cover, Believer, you know? And that's not fair, because Smash Mouth has done tons of covers. Don't you forget about me. Don't. They covered that one. I can't get enough of you, baby. Oh, yes, it's true. They covered that one. And they also covered the Beatles, Getting Better. I don't know any of the lyrics to that song. Beatles never did anything for me. I'm just going to come out and say this. It's a really unpopular opinion. Beatles songs? I don't know. Eleanor Rigby? Blackbird? Those are the only Beatles songs that I fucking know. What did the Beatles ever really put out? Besides great marketing and then being a part of, like, the English, fucking, what is it? The English invasion? Listen, America had an invasion of England, too. It was called Normandy. Alright? England's invasion of America, number two, was the Beatles, and again, one of the biggest failures in history, right? Not only did we kick their ass with muskets, okay, we kicked their ass with music. So then in 2003, they release their fourth album, Get the Picture. Alright? Flop, no one really knows about it, except yours truly, because I am a diehard fucking fan, alright? And then in 2005, they signed with Universal Records. They were on Interscope previously, and before that, I forget the name of the record company, but this is their third record company, Universal, which are the big boys they signed with. And they just pretty much signed with them to release their greatest hits and two more albums that were kind of flops. But this is where people stop caring about Smash Mouth. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair at all, because Smash Mouth has remained in the cultural zeitgeist for years. Since. Listen, people give Smash Mouth so much hate on Twitter still. When it's like, they call them one-hit wonders, and that's not fair, because they have three number ones. All-Star was a hit before Believer was, you know? It's not fair. But it says something about Smash Mouth. It says something about how they've permeated our social, political, and pop culture zeitgeist, where they still capture the imagination of trolls. They have an endless battle with trolls, and it's like, nah, they continuously do it. And they're fighting the good fight. They're fighting a fight I can believe in. You know? Smash Mouth has never gotten the respect that they deserve as artists. Why do people still care about them? Because they did amazing work. And if it wasn't for this amazing work, then why would people still even care about? Why would people still even know about them? Here's how good Steve Harwell is. Are you ready? Little known fact that I recall from a TRL episode. You see, part of the reason why they got big was because of Carson Daly. He was on K-Rock. He played them, and they just fucking soared to the top of the charts because their music was so brilliant, talented, and amazing. So then Carson Daly, he has TRL, you know? A little known thing that I remember that no one else seems to remember is that Carson Daly was talking about how brilliant Steve Harwell is, and he talks about how he was right in front of him, talking to him when he wrote the original All-Star. And he said it took him about 10 minutes to write that. It was MTV2 Spring Break. He was there with him, and he just wrote the song. I believe it was All-Star. It may have been after All-Star, one of their many hits after that. But it took him 10 minutes to write a song, that went to number one on the charts. That shows you how much of a brilliant lyricist this man is. He goes from rap to rock to number ones. I don't know why people don't respect them. So in 2011, a Something Awful editor offered Steve $20 to eat 24 eggs. And that went viral. Here's the thing. It went viral. Lead singer of Smash Mouth. Going viral is like being number one on the internet. Another number one. This thing picked up so much steam that he said he would agree to it on two conditions. Number one, that everyone on the internet raises over $10,000 for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Total count, $15,000. He over-delivered yet again. $5,000 extra. That is one-third. He over-delivered one-third. That's a huge amount. 33% more he delivered than what his first expectation was. Because that's who he is as a person, as an artist. It's unfair what they're doing to Smash Mouth. But number two is he said that he would do it only if his dear and close friend, Guy Fieri, prepared the eggs. And yes, Guy Fieri did prepare those eggs, and they did it at Guy Fieri's new restaurant opening in California. I forget where in California, goddammit, but it was like Mr. Garlic or Garlic something. Listen, I'm a Smash Mouth fan, not a Guy Fieri fan, okay? Guy Fieri is famous to me from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, okay? He's also famous to me because a few years ago, he brought his hairstylist on the road with him. And they got in a fight. They got in some fisticuffs because they had been drinking on an airplane for a very long period of time. And to me, that says manliness. Fighting your hairdresser, that just screams manliness to me. So I'm not a Guy Fieri fan, but I am a Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth fan. Okay? Steve Harwell then, yes, he only ate 12 eggs. But that's because Guy Fieri fucked everything up for him. Guy Fieri put everything else in those eggs. Peppers, onions, mushrooms, vegetables. Something that Steve Harwell, look at him. That's not a man who needs vegetables. That's a man who needs lean protein. Raised $15,000. He ate 12 eggs. The rest of the fans came up. And in a gracious moment, Steve Harwell sat down and had a meal of eggs by a famous chef and shared them with the people who turned up. And together, all of them ate all 24 eggs. How gracious is that of him? Then, the thing that people really shame him about is on June 14th in 2015, Steve broke from his set. He was doing a corporate gig at a restaurant opening. Name of that restaurant, I'm not going to promote, because they should have had better security for Steve. They should have had better security for Smash Mouth, one of our nation's greatest heroes. Steve broke from his set because someone had thrown bread at him. And the only ironic thing being that his band decided to keep playing All-Star after he was hit with bread. So there he is ranting and cursing and yelling for what I think is fair. If I got hit with bread while I was performing, I guess it would... Listen, my name's Bread, so it would be a different situation now that I think about it, okay? But they're constantly reinventing themselves. So the most current news about Smash Mouth that I think has gone to the wayside when it needs some national attention, and what better way to bring them national attention than for me to speak about them on my podcast of 1,000 listeners or less. I may have inflated that number. I don't know how to check the numbers. I need to speak to my producer about that. But right now, the original band has pretty much gotten back together. And they're now recording an acoustic version of All Star. The entire album, Astro Lounge, they are redoing acoustically and they're going to re-release. And I can't wait for it. So again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down now their number one song, the song that changed my life for forever and has been with me. The only other band I really like is the Cat Empire. They are a five-piece band out of Australia. They're amazing. Go look them up. The best critique I ever got about my book, Dude Bro, the How-To College Guide Your Parents Don't Want You to Have, was your book gave me AIDS, but now I have the Cat Empire, so at least there's that. Which was the greatest review I've ever gotten about my book. So again, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to combine FOB and All Star and do like three verses from them. Because again, I did that at the beginning. I don't know if you guys want to hear this again or not. But I want you to listen to the lyrics. I'm doing this a cappella, so I want you to listen to these lyrics as much as you can, okay? And really understand that this is poetry. So what I want you to imagine now is you're sitting in a really cool coffee shop, maybe off like, Houston Street in New York City, in the back room, and then where the smell of burnt coffee is permeated into the poorly cushioned chairs that you are sacrificing yourself to sit on. And first, God damn it, I can't remember the name of the fucking female author that everyone quotes. Okay. They're doing her. And then all of a sudden, me, in my 6'5" glory, I step on stage. And this is exactly how I'd perform it. For all of you, the adoring public and the adoring fans. Are you ready? And now, dramatic reading from a poem that changed my life. Penned by Steve Hartwell, 1999. This is All Star. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And she was looking kinda dumb, with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Yes. The years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules, so I hit the ground running. Because it didn't make sense not to live for fun. Because your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. And there's so much to do. There's so much to see. There's so much wrong with taking the back streets. Because you'll never know. If you don't go. And you'll never shine if you don't glow. Because hey now, you are an all-star. So get your game on and go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on and get paid. Because all that glitters is gold. And only shooting stars breaks the mold. Go for the gold. Go for the gold. Somebody once asked, can I spare some change for gas? I need to get myself away from this place. And I was like, yeah, man, what a concept. I could use a little fuel myself, and we could all use a little change. So the years start coming, and they don't stop coming. And I fed to the rules, and I hit the ground running, because it didn't make sense not to live for fun, because your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. There's so much to do, so much to see, so much wrong with taking the back streets. You will never know if you don't go. And you will never shine if you do not glow. Wow. Hey now. You're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. Because all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars breaks the mold.